I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I want to talk to you tonight about peace of mind. How many of you believe that peace of mind is something to be desired? The whole world is crying out for peace of mind. The world spends millions and perhaps even billions on doctors, on medicines, on legitimate prescription drugs, on psychiatrists, on psychologists, on therapy, on vacations, on things to try to find peace of mind. Many, not being able to find peace of mind, put their mind under sedation in order to try to get it with whiskey, with drugs, with all kinds of other things, bad thoughts, trying to drown out or wipe away the things that trouble them in their minds. If you will listen carefully tonight to the Word of God, if you've never seen this truth in the Scripture, God will provide you something tonight and show you how to have peace of mind. I would expect that probably half of the personal ministry that I do has to do with the area of peace of mind. God's people are troubled with fear, with doubt, with confusion, with all sorts of activity going on in the mind that is not of God. Indecision, insecurity, and all the rest. And it's in the mind. God has never intended for His people to operate in that. His provision for us is peace of mind, assurance and security and confidence in our thought life. Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning at the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You could take this 8th chapter and you could spend a year in it. We're going to take just a little part of it here, the 6th and the 7th verse. I believe, is a little loud, the sound is a little loud? I thought it was. It's sounding a little loud. Ken, would you just turn me down just a little bit? Is that better? Does that sound about the way it normally does? I know how it gets sometimes, and I don't want to, right now I'm talking kind of quiet because I'm aware that it's a little loud, but it may get to where I can't do that anymore. And I don't want it to be a problem for you. Verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now it's possible to be two kind of minded. You can be carnally minded and you can be spiritually minded. A Christian? Oh yes. Oh yes. Even a Christian. A Christian can have his mind on the things of the Spirit, the things of God, or he can have his mind occupied totally by the things of this life, the cares and concerns of this life, and the things that, even some of the things that the enemy would want to put into his mind. It is possible for a Christian to be spiritually minded and carnally minded. It's possible for you to be both in the span of a short period of time. Now, God's Word says that if you are carnally minded, It's death. What's he mean by that? Look at the rest of the verse. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, God's Word says that the way to peace is to be spiritually minded. If you are carnally minded, it will breathe death into your peace. There won't be any peace. Peace and lack of same, the battle goes on for that in your mind. It's your mind where the battlefield is. It's your mind where the enemy is trying to rob the peace of God from you. It's in your thought life where the enemy comes to try to give you thoughts that will cause you to be carnally minded. He can put death on your peace. Jesus Christ has given us peace, but you will not have it automatically. It is not an automatic thing. There is something which you must do. And I believe the Lord will show it to us tonight in the Word. Now let me read verse 7 for you. The carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Look down at the verse number 2. Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of God there? The law of the Spirit of life. Do you see it? The law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. Now, if you go back to read verse 7 again, it says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It's not subject to the law of life. You will not have life and peace in your mind if you are carnally minded. Now, how does it work? Most of the folks that are in need of ministry today in the body of Christ are not in need of ministry concerning their bodily circumstances, healing, and so on. Most of the people of God that need ministry today need ministry because their mind is not under control. Most who need ministry or have carnal minds, are operating in carnality in their minds, and there's confusion there, or fear, or doubt. Now turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let me show you something here. Beginning to read in the third verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or worldly, that's what that means, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What kind of strongholds? Strongholds that have established themselves in your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about peace of mind. Now, you may not see that there, but listen just a moment. In verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where do you have thoughts? You have those in your mind. That's your thought life. It's in your mind. It's all right, don't worry about it. Ooh, thank you, Lord. I tell you what, this is one message that our enemy does not want to come through tonight. This is one message that the devil does not want you to hear tonight. He doesn't want you to hear it, and he doesn't want you to understand it. Now, just set yourself in agreement with me, would you? Satan, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I bind you away from this place. I bind you away from my mind, and I bind you away from the mind of God's people in the name of Jesus. Confusion and doubt, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I command you to flee from this place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not steal nor rob the people of God. You'll not do it in Jesus' name. That snake. Father, you just lead us by your Spirit now. You just guide us by your Spirit. You speak by your Spirit. Anoint by the power of your Spirit. Brokori chemino tomono koyite. Yeromon chevera korite monovoro beyashoti. Aitoma shetoka iaro tomono vorobasha. Shivrandumino korinde beyite. Yetomu fishim votumvunandando. Yetum berakori shivrotomanakahi. Yetum manakari hishe fuaba. Yeho matonte, yeto mohonde ke e, yeshefo, ye combaton mohashida koi de montano, yefo na boho shanda bere kerite buta, daivora mo shanda ka ite buta, hera korishe futa baratina. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. All right, what is it that causes peace to leave you? It is always thoughts that are contrary to God's word. When your mind is filled with the Word of God, you will have the peace of God. It's when our minds become tied up or occupied, I guess I should say, by anything that is opposite to the Word of God. Example, I'm just not good enough. I just can't seem to do anything right. I don't know what's the matter with me. I thought God wanted me to do this, but it's just not going the way I thought. I guess I'm just no good. You know what that is? That's a high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, isn't it? Because what does God's Word say? There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Isn't that what it says? Then anything that says you're not okay, anything that brings condemnation upon you, is not of God. It's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and it'll steal your peace. It'll just rob your peace. It'll take it away from you, just that quick. Anything at all that is the opposite to the Word of God will take your peace away. It's just like the devil stuck his hand into your mind and took a hold of your peace and just jerked it out. Jesus said, the thief cometh for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is what he wants to do with the people of God. If he can keep you as confused and as bound as the rest of the world is, then those that are heathen in the world will never see any difference in you, and they'll never see Jesus Christ in you. Once you got saved, now what's the devil going to do with you except to try to render you powerless? And you will be absolutely without power unless you have the peace of God operating in you. So what does he do? He feeds you his lies. Now he doesn't come in the back door and walk up to you and say, hey, Vic, let me give you this one. Because when you saw him like that, you know, you're no dummy, you'd run him off. He doesn't do like that. He attacks you in the area of concern. You see, he subtly, very carefully and stealthily creeps into your thought life. And most Christians do not know that their mind is a place where either the Spirit of God is going to put thoughts or the devil is going to put thoughts. It's like a great big playground, and whoever will play on it can play on it if you will permit them. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are the one that determines who plays on your field. And if you do not set up rules and regulations concerning your playing field, the devil will come and play and bring all of his troops. He will fill your mind with all sorts of thoughts. He starts out with the very subtle ones. He begins to bring doubts. He begins to bring confusion. He begins to bring fear. Suppose you get a fear.
Let's get one like this.
I'm afraid I might lose my job. My company, I heard up there in the home office, they've got a shaking going on up there. And I'm afraid that, you know, they're talking about maybe cutting a third of the force. I'm afraid, you know, I hadn't been around very long, hadn't been on very long. That thing's probably going to get me. You know what that is? That's a high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because what did God say? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. What does God say? You have not received the spirit of fear again to bondage, but the spirit of adoption which cries out, Abba, Father. What does the word of God say? Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So what happens when you have fear? Where's fear come from? It comes from the devil, blessed ones. It comes from the enemy, and if you're not careful, if you permit fear to play in your mind, the first thing you know, you will have a stronghold established there. I guess what we did a minute ago worked, didn't it? You see the difference? Do you feel a difference? Can you hear the difference? God's word works. God's word works. God's word works. God's word works. Now, you see, he was trying to do the same thing to me. That I'm telling you that he does. Very subtle. Very subtle. Very, very subtle. But he wanted to steal from us, you see. He wanted to take our peace away tonight, and he wanted to steal from us the goodness, hallelujah, of this word. Jesus said that you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you don't know the truth, the devil will keep you bound. You're just like throwing a chain around you. And the truth is the key that unlocks that thing and opens it back up again. Okay, what do you do then? If thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God are the thing that steals your peace, what can you do to get your peace back? The very best thing I know to do for the long haul is what Paul says in Romans. Hold your finger at 2 Corinthians 10 and go back to Romans 12. I'm going to share this with you. It's a little out of sequence, but I'm going to share it with you so that I don't neglect it. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul says, and be not conformed to this world. What kind of a mind does this world have? A carnal mind, a worldly mind. He said, do not be carnally minded. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be spiritually minded. How do you be spiritually minded? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul said this. He said, you remember what I wrote you back four chapters ago? That to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here's how to do it. Do not be carnally minded by being conformed to the ways and the thoughts of this world. Yes, everybody around you says, I'm scared to death. Don't you say it, because you're not. It's a lie. It's a lie. Being scared to death is of the devil. There's no reason for you to be scared to anything. Is there? Is there?
No.
That's right. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So he says, don't be conformed to the thoughts, patterns of this world. Do not be carnally minded, but be spiritually minded. Be transformed. Get your mind straightened up. How? Renew it by the word of God so that you'll know what is that perfect, acceptable, good will of God. What is the will of God, beloved? Is this the will of God? How are you going to know the good, perfect, acceptable will of God? You eat the Word of God. You get your mind renewed by consuming this Word. You take it in big doses. You eat it. You consume it. Just like you do physical food, you eat this spiritual food. And as it goes in, it will cause your mind to be renewed so that when the devil comes along and he says, you need to be afraid because you might lose your job, the first thing that jumps into your mind because your mind is spiritual instead of carnal is, out thought in the name of Jesus. God hasn't given me the spirit of fear. All my needs are met by the power of God in Christ Jesus. All my needs are met. See? Philippians 4:19 will jump into your mind and it'll route that thing out and it will run 100 miles an hour out of your mind. And then what are you left with? Peace of mind. Do you see how it works? Okay, now what do you do until you get your mind renewed? Because the renewing of your mind is a process. You won't get your mind renewed overnight. Those of you that have just been born again, you should be eagerly and aggressively consuming the Word of God in large portions and large doses. You should be getting it every place and every way you can. You should be getting it here. You should be getting it on the radio. You should be getting it through tapes. You should be getting it from your television set. Instead of watching Skag, watch PTL. See? Get your mind renewed. Get yourself spiritually minded instead of carnally minded, and then the devil won't be able to steal your peace. And that's what he has to do. He's got to steal your peace. He's got to get your peace away from you because God's already given it to you. Therefore, you've got it. He's got to steal it. Now, the reason he steals it is because we've been so dumb. We've been ignorant. We haven't known what's going on. And he comes up, he just backs his truck right up to our house and he carts off everything and we stand and we watch it go and we go like this. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like this? Sister, you suppose you could pray with me? I just don't have any peace. Watching it go. Just watching it go. Have our mind renewed. All right. That's the long-term plan for the people of God, to get our minds renewed. What do you do on a short term? What do you do if you're sitting here in the auditorium tonight? The devil has stolen your peace. There's death to your peace. You're in confusion or fear or doubt. And you can't wait to get your mind renewed. What are you going to do? You do what Paul said right here in 2 Corinthians 10. Now listen carefully. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. In other words, we're physical human beings, but we don't fight spiritual wars with physical weapons. In other words, you don't get out your machine gun, you see, and take aim on whoever or whatever that thing is that's stealing your peace. What do you do? He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. They're not hand grenades and machine guns. We don't pummel with our fists. Suppose an enemy, you see, has come against us through another person. Suppose your child is in rebellion. What are you going to do? Get out a club and beat him with it? On occasion, yes. I'm serious. You know what God's Word says about that. But it's a little hard to catch them when they're 25. And they're faster. So you must operate a little more intelligently. And how do you operate? You operate in accordance with the Word of God. You don't use physical weapons. You use the spiritual weapons that God has given to us to pull down strongholds. What are the weapons that God's given to us? What are the spiritual weapons? The name of Jesus, because at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with which you go out there and you do battle, you see, with that Word. The shield of faith that you get up in front of you so that when the devil fires those fiery darts, they come and they hit the shield. You don't even know he's firing them because you don't see them. They come and they hit the shield and it says quench, 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 quench. You know what quench means? It means put completely out. And it comes and hits your shield of faith. You get your faith right up there that says, I trust the Lord my God. I have my confidence in Him. And it doesn't matter what they do up in the home office of New York. They can let 40% of the crew go. I put my trust in God. Look at the shield of faith I got up there. Quench, 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 quench. Now that's exactly how it works. Those are the weapons that God has given us. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith, our trust in the Lord. But is there something that I can do myself? Yes, there is something that you must do. And it's in the next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Who does that? We do it. We do it. If you don't do it, God can't. God has indwelt you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit is our prayer helper, don't we? But if you won't pray, the Holy Spirit can't help you. He won't do your praying for you. You know that. He will help you pray when you pray. It's the same way when you do spiritual battle. If you won't fight, the Spirit of God can't help you. You must do your own fighting. And how do you do it? That thought begins to worm its way, and that's exactly what it's like. It's a worm. And it begins to corkscrew itself into your mind. The minute you recognize it and your peace is gone, what do you do? Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You say, you foul thought, in Jesus' name I cast you down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get out of my mind. Can you do that? You bet you can. Does it work? You better believe that it works. Is the Word of God any good? Then it works, just exactly like that. How do people function that always seem to be at peace? This is how they function. When the thought begins to occupy their mind, and they recognize it as a thought that is opposite the Word of God, it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. It may be a temptation. Any kind of a thought like that. What do you do with it? Well, if you sit there and muse on it, if you meditate on it, if you tell everybody you know about it, say, I think we better pray about this thing. It's really bothering me. What you are doing is establishing a stronghold in your mind. Your peace will be gone. Now, this is what you do about it. When the minute you recognize it, I cast you down in Jesus' name. I do not permit you to occupy my mind. Devil, you and your players, get off my playground. You are not permitted here in Jesus' name. I'm not going to let you play on my field. You have charge over your own mind. Now listen to me carefully. This is very, very important to you in your Christian life. Very important to you in your Christian life. This is where your peace comes and goes. Is in these verses right here. Casting down imagination. Using the weapons. What are the weapons? Name of Jesus. Sword of the Spirit, Word of God. You take your sword out. Devil, I want you to read you some scripture. It says here that though I walk in the flesh, I don't war after the flesh, because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, as you well know, to pull down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Therefore, you see that, devil? Therefore, I take this sword and I wield it against you. I cast down this imagination in the name of Jesus. I do not permit it to occupy my mind. I won't have it in my mind. Now, you just do that. Now, some of you say, well, how am I going to do that? You know, the other people around. Go to the basement somewhere or go into the closet. Go where you pray. Go where it's quiet and get down to business. And take authority over your own thought life. Take control over your own thoughts. And do not permit these idle things to just float through. The majority of the problems that we have as Christians are from this very thing. For this is where the devil gains his entrance. And when we don't take charge of it right then he suckers us and we have a stronghold established in our mind and we don't even recognize it as him. We think it's us. Turn with me back to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. How many of you have heard about the peace that passes all understanding? Let's find out about where that peace comes from. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Now that word means be full of care for nothing. Be anxious, in other words, about nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what you want? Oh, that's what I want too. Now look at the next verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now that sounds to me like an instruction to Christians. Paul says, think on these things. You make a decision what you're going to think on. You can either think on your fears and think on your doubts and think on your insecurities. You can think on the things of the world, or you can think on the things of God. If you'll think on the things of God, then you will have life and peace of mind. If you think on your fears and think on the things of the world, then you are bound to have death to your peace. It's that simple. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. When will the God of peace be with you? After you have done the things that Paul said do. What did he say do? Cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, and so on and so forth, think on those things. And guess what's going to happen? The God of peace will be with you. God's peace will station itself around your heart and around your mind and keep you in a peaceful condition. Can you do it? Yes. Oh, yes, you can do it. Well, what am I going to do? Let me give you an example here of something that I don't know if I shared this with you once before or not, but if I did, those of you who have heard this before, you'll forgive me for sharing it again, but I just feel impressed to do so. Shortly after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think I should say to you that when I was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, I had a great deal of trouble with my mind. And when I say with my mind, I don't mean that how it sounds. What I mean was, I wanted to believe what God said, and I wanted to do what God did or wanted done. But I didn't understand what was happening there, but I had attack after attack after attack on my mind. And it was very difficult, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I even thought at times that living for God was just going to be too difficult. I just wasn't going to be able to do it. And I see now how the devil works on new believers, especially if they're ignorant and do not understand the provision that God has made. And I'd never seen any teaching on that, or if I had, I didn't understand it or had never listened to it. I'd never really listened to it and taken it in. And one night, as I was driving home from work one evening, I'd been having a great deal of difficulty with doubt. I would read this word and I saw what it said, but for some reason it was hard for me to believe it. Some of the things that this word said, the Holy Spirit was giving me a revelation on it. I could see it. I said, well, you know, it's so clear, but I couldn't believe it. It was hard for me to receive it. I thought, well, it can't be. And I knew that wasn't right. And I was constantly in a state of no peace. I couldn't rest in the Lord. And frankly, it had been that way until about a year ago. And since then, I know what I'm talking about here about renewing the mind, because as my mind became renewed, I just don't have those troubles anymore. I mean, I just don't have those times of the absence of peace. And trials come and tribulations come and temptations come and all the rest of the things come. But God's peace is just like this. Just like this. And I know that's the way God wants all of His people to operate. I know that that's the way He wants us to live. Unruffled. Unruffled. And unshaken by the things that come against us. In any event, on this one particular occasion, I'd been really troubled with doubt. Terrible doubt. And I felt it was particularly condemning because the Lord was using me in a prayer group, in a type of leadership, but yet I was having trouble believing the Word. And the condemnation would come upon me, how can I do this if I'm not, you know, if I'm having trouble believing? And so as I was driving home this one night, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I got to know what this is all about. And He spoke to me and He told me that there was a doubt spirit that had a hold on my mind. He'd been there for a long time. And He was the one that was making me so miserable. And so I spoke aloud to Him in the name of Jesus and I said, doubt, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you to come out of my mind. Nothing happened. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of my mind. You're not going to trouble me anymore. And I continued after Him for about 5 minutes. And while this was going on, it's not easy to describe what I was sensing. But I mean to tell you that this spirit, this personality, so I said, well, you believe in evil spirits? No, I don't believe in evil spirits. I believe in God. Okay, I put my trust in God, but I know that evil spirits are real. Yes. So if that's what you mean, yes. Let me take care of one here. And I said, after about 5 minutes, he had been, as I was struggling with him there, I'm driving the car, and as I was struggling with him, doubts were just coming at me. Gentle kinds of things, but like, well, maybe it's not really a spirit. Maybe this won't really work. Maybe you're losing your banana. Things like that, you know, gentle kind of doubt thing. But just as I reached the corner of Fulton Industrial Boulevard and 166 and went to make that right turn, and I said again for the last time, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, you loose my mind. And that thing came out of my mind. And you ask me, how do I know that? Because all of a sudden, and this is the only way I know how to describe it, all of a sudden, I could tell the difference between the thoughts that were coming from within and the thoughts that were being hurled at me from without. Because all of a sudden, these thoughts began to come from without. God's playing you for a sucker. Jesus Christ is really not real. I mean, strong doubts this time. And anything. And the only way have you ever seen an animal at a screen door clawing like this, trying to get in the door? Now, I didn't see any of this, but this is the way I sensed it in the spirit. It was like, on the outside, just clawing wildly, trying to get back in. And I knew instantly that he was out. See? Because he was trying to get back in. And well, I knew that I had him then, you see. And I knew that he wasn't going to give me any more trouble, and I wasn't going to let him back in. And I continued to, now listen to this carefully, because this is the important part. I continued to rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus. Rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. But I couldn't get any freedom. And all of a sudden, I know it was the Spirit of God telling me what to do because I didn't know what to do. But I began to, I thought, well, I got to fill my mind with something else, so there's no place for him to play. And the only thing I could think of that was pure, true, honest, praiseworthy, trustworthy was Jesus. And I began to shout, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then I started singing, Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. And I just kept my mind filled with Jesus and thoughts of Him. And all of a sudden, gone. Peace! Peace like I never felt before in all of my Christian life. I mean, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. And so I got home. And this is about 3 years ago, I guess, or so. When I got home, Lois and I were laying in bed that night. And I explained to her, I began to tell her what had happened to me that night. And as I did, all of a sudden that thing just hit me again. Just that quick. Just talking about it. Just bringing it back to my remembrance in order to share it with her. That thing began to claw like this and throw these wild thoughts into my mind. And it was so bad that I had to jump out of bed and get down on my knees beside the bed and begin to cry out, Jesus, Jesus, filling my mind with what is pure and what is good and what is holy, and gone, 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 peace. Wonderful, beautiful peace. No more trouble. No more with that particular thing. Okay? So what I'm telling you is I have experienced myself this word working in my life in a dramatic fashion. And I have seen it work in many of your lives. How many of you believe and know from your own personal testimony that this word works in this area? Now that's enough evidence, see, for any of you that may be here and aren't really sure. There's enough of God's people who say it works. God's word always works. But the responsibility now, friends, is yours. It is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Folks say, well, you know, I've got this problem and I don't know, I've been prayed for and she prayed for me and he prayed for me and they prayed for me in Sunday school and prayed for me at the ladies' meeting and I went across town and there was a big evangelist in there from California and he prayed for me and they prayed for me and someone else prayed for me and I've been prayed for so many times I'm losing my hair, but I still have my problem. I still have my problem. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. I'm not putting down the laying on of hands. But I am saying that if God is requiring an action on your part, the laying on of hands isn't going to do you any good as far as bringing you immediate deliverance from that. And many times people will come and they will say, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, and I need help for it. We'll spend 30 minutes sharing this truth, 30 seconds praying. They got their deliverance, they've got their freedom, but more than that, they know how to walk free. See, that's the important part.